Bibles with you. We're turning to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and as I've already stated, the Lord's laid in my heart a series concerning the Lamb of God, And we begin today that series, and we will continue to do so as the Lord leads. And we're beginning from Genesis chapter 22, and we're commencing our reading at verse 1, and we'll be reading down to verse 14. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to verse 14. Let us hear God's word. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went on to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And they took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 14, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word for his own name's sake. Again, if we... That's good singing. If you could turn with me to the passage that we read earlier from God's word, found in Genesis chapter 22. Thank our sister Joy for playing for us. And if we could open at that passage, please, at Genesis 22, with God's word open before us again, we'll unite our hearts seeking the Lord's face briefly before the Lord, before we come to the most important part of a meeting, and that is the proclamation of divine truth. Let us together seek the Lord's face briefly, seeking his help, stilling our hearts in his presence. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we continue on in thy presence, we thank thee for that privilege of calling upon thy name. We thank thee for the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee for ever sending thy Son into this sin-cursed world, for all that he did, for his work of redemption, for all that he accomplished, for all the benefits that we do enjoy as the people of God. And we thank thee that we're not what we want to be, but we're not what we used to be. And Lord, we give thee all the praise and glory for ever saving our never dying souls. But Lord, we cry unto thee and we covet thy presence. We ask of thee that you'll draw very near. Lord, that you'll help, give that help that thou alone dost give. Lord, aid us, help us, use us for the glory of thy precious name. Lord, help us. Build us up in thy holiest of faith. Lord, give us Christ-likeness. This is the will of God, that we be conformed more and more to thy will, to thine image. Lord, help us, we pray. Bless us now, for it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things, and for thy glory alone. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask it, careful to give thee all the praise and glory, which is due thy precious name. For it's in Christ's worthy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Genesis 22, verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. The Lamb of God is the most important in Scripture, because redemption is the central theme in all of the Bible. From page to page, from cover to cover, the Bible reveals him and teaches of him. You see, the theme is his death. That is the cross work of Christ, the turning away of God's wrath against sinners by means of an atoning sacrifice, the removal of guilt by means of an atoning, of atonement rendered to God. You see, both the Old and New Testaments are never far from Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. This speaks of him as the great sacrifice by which atonement is made for sin and man is reconciled to God. Abraham speaks here in verse 8 in respect to the Messiah, to the Lamb of God, whom God provided in counsel and covenant before the world was, and who in promise, type, and figure was slain from the foundation of the world, and whom in due time God would send into the world and make him an offering for sin and accept of him in the room and stead of his people. And this was a provision that could only be made by the Lord and was the produce of his infinite wisdom and the fruit of his grace and favour and goodwill, and of which Abraham had a clear sight and strong persuasion, though, as the words may be considered as a more direct answer to Isaac's question, where is the lamb for a burnt offering, which related to the sacrifice now about to be offered, they may be seen or viewed undoubtedly as a prophecy of Abraham's and of his faith in it, that God would, as in fact he did provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And therefore we come, as way of a title, the Lamb of God prophesied. The Lamb of God prophesied. We find here in Genesis 22 one of the clearest pictures of the cross, of the handiwork of God, of Calvary seen afar off. The Lamb prophesied and is a pointer to the cross. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity by Abraham's mouth, seems to predict the Lamb of God, which he has provided and which taketh away the sin of the world. And so firstly, whom is Abraham to sacrifice? Whom is Abraham to sacrifice? There is no question as to whom Abraham is to sacrifice and offer as a burnt offering. It's very clear and plain from verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Directly and immediately, not thine ox, not thy sheep, nor thy ram, nor thy lamb, nor thy servant, but thy son. Here's whom Abraham is to sacrifice. He's to sacrifice the one on whom his affections are strongly set, being a lovely youth, a dutiful son, and the child of promise on whom Abraham's hope and expectation of a numerous offspring promised him was built, whom thou lovest. Here's the one whom Abraham is to sacrifice. We see the clear clarity of God's command, whom Abraham is to sacrifice, which instructs us as the people of God, when God tells us to do something that may seem unusual, he will make it very clear as to what it is. He will make it very clear as to what it is. And therefore, God never directs us. God never directs us to take unusual action without giving us much assurance as to what the action is. And so this truth not only encourages us, it not only encourages us, but also warns us. Also warns us that before we take drastic decision, before we take some rash decision, we must be certain that we have a clear and strong command from God in doing so. You see, as we look closer into Genesis 22, at verse 2, we see clearly there are descriptions set out for us to help us better to see the nature of the sacrifice Abraham had to make, and shows us how wonderfully Isaac foreshadows the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the only Son, Genesis 22, verse 2, and he said, take now thy Son, thine only Son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. And this phrase, thine only son, is repeated in verses 12 and Verse 16, verse 12, we read, "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." In verse 16, we read again this phrase, "thine only son." "And he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." When Isaac is sacrificed, there'll be no son left. Abraham is being asked to give his all. And friends, we may give much. We may give much. But if we have much left, well, the sacrifice is not nearly as great as it is when we have nothing left. You see, it is what's left that determines the real size and the cost of our sacrificing. Remember the widow's mite. In Luke's gospel, though it may appear that she didn't give very much, it may appear to the eyes of men, well, sure, she only gave a few mites. But my friends, she gave all she had. She gave all she had. Luke 21, verse 4, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but it says this, "For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." Others gave more. Yes, others gave more in terms of money. But this woman, she gave more in terms of sacrifice. Others gave more in terms of money, but not in terms of sacrifice. And as Isaac was Abraham's only son, so Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was God's only son. Both Isaac and Christ are, in fact, particularly called the only begotten son. Hebrews 11:17, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." In John 3:16, that most famous verse, it is said, the most popular of all verses in Scripture, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friends, what a great price God paid for our salvation. What a great price God paid for our salvation. And therefore, we must ask the question, do we reciprocate, do we do the same in our sacrificing to serve him? Or do we keep back part of the price? Do we keep back part of the price because we are bought with a price? We are purchased by blood. Not with such things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were purchased, bought by precious blood. By precious blood. We see the loved son also. The loved son, Isaac, is described by God as the son whom thou lovest. He states to Abraham, whom thou lovest. He's the loved son. Abraham is asked to give up Isaac, the son he loved most. Abraham is asked to do more than merely send him away, but he's asked to slay him. He's asked to offer him up as a burnt offering. Truly, what a great test of the heart's affection this test is for Abraham, this mighty man of God. And therefore, the heart must be examined to determine the character of our sacrifice. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart." This is God's plea to man. This is the main thing that God wants from us. Because if he has our heart, if he has our heart, then he has everything about us. If God has our heart, he has everything about us. We may sacrifice much, but if the heart's not in it, well, the sacrifice loses much of its value. Abraham demonstrated in his willingness to sacrifice Isaac that God was his first love. You see, love, real love, ever seeks the highest interest of others. Love is unselfish. It gives. It's not hard to see the Lamb of God. Just as Isaac was greatly loved by his father, so Jesus Christ was greatly loved by his Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God spared not his best. God spared not his best. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" They not only loved their sons, but they willingly sacrificed their beloved sons. And so we see, well, the law-abiding son. The law-abiding son, because Isaac submitted completely to his father's will. Isaac submitted to his father's will. We see this clearly in his submission, as seen clearly in verse 3. In verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son." Here's his submission. He goes with his father. There's no mumbling. There's no saying, "I'm not going." There's no kicking his feet. No, he's in submission to his father. And he goes with his father. We see his submission in carrying the wood for Abraham. He carries the wood. He goes with him. Verse 6. We read, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together." Here's his submission. Again, there's no protest. There's no disputing with his father. He willingly goes. And especially in that he utters no words of complaint. He's silent. No words are uttered in protest. And Abraham, in verse 9, we find that he bound Isaac, his son. He tied him up. He bound his son and laid him in the altar upon the wood. Friends, he opened not his mouth. And so we see clearly the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God prophesied, the Lamb of God, the one who did always those things which pleased his Father. Christ said, didn't he say, "My meat, my food, my meal, my meat is to do the will of God, the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The cross was no afterthought. The cross was no afterthought, for the greatest evidence of Christ's submission had to do with his being sacrificed. Had to do with his being sacrificed, for he was, as stated in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we see the Christ-like submission, which Isaac so wonderfully demonstrated. And friends, isn't this this is what really should characterize us as the people of God. This is what should characterize the saints of God. Submission to the Lord's will. But isn't it often true, instead of submitting, we argue, we complain. Instead of unity, there's often disunity. Instead of Christ-likeness, isn't there often carnality? And at times we wonder why we don't experience the blessings of the saints of old. Because didn't they submit completely to God's will? Oh yes, they had their failures. But we often wonder why we don't experience the blessings of the saints of old who submitted completely to God's will. You see, if we want God's blessing, we must submit to the word of our Heavenly Father, just as Isaac submitted to his father. Just as he submitted to his father, therefore the word of God must be our supreme authority at all times. Doesn't it say in our catechism? Question 3, what do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. Here's our role of authority. Here's our role of authority. Secondly, where is Abraham to sacrifice? Where is he to sacrifice? We find this in the middle of verse 2. In the middle part of verse 2, we read the following: "And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." This is the place Abraham, this is where Abraham is to sacrifice Isaac. It was in the area which would be later known as Jerusalem. It was a 3 days' journey, according to verse 4. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. The significant feature of the location for the sacrificing of Isaac is its obvious relationship with Calvary and Christ. For this is the place where the Lamb of God was crucified, was in Calvary's hill, in that middle tree where God the just came into this sin-cursed world as that free will offering and came to die as the just for the unjust. And there he is, in Calvary's hill, suffering for sin not his own, but for those he came to save. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Here's the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God crucified. With no difficulty believing that the crucifixion of Christ occurred not only in the general area, but also right at the very place Abraham offered Isaac as Christ would be the substitute. He would be the one that would take the place of and in the benefit of those he came to save a people from their sins. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, listened, and saw the place afar off. I love that little phrase. And saw the place afar off. There's Calvary. There's Calvary. What was Abraham to sacrifice? Thirdly, verse 7 and 8. Well, it says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Isaac was puzzled that Abraham was planning to offer a burnt offering, but there was no lamb. Both the asking by Isaac and the answering by Abraham about the missing lamb will instruct us in some important truths. Isaac's question, where is the lamb? He knew fine well that there had to be a sacrifice. He knew that the fire and the wood was there, but he said, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He knew that sacrifice had to be made. It shows that he was in no doubt instructed regarding the sacrifices. Abraham had obviously seen to it that Isaac was instructed. And Isaac knew vital truths regarding worship. Isaac knew that what was missing. And the truth is, well, many of our churches, many of the churches across this land, across our lands further afield, well, they wouldn't even know if the lamb was missing from their worship. Because they do not preach the Lamb of God. Men are so spiritually dull that they cannot tell the difference between a sermon that honours Christ and a sermon that leaves Christ out entirely. There are many who seek to embrace a salvation without Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Many a sermon preached and no mention of our blessed Lord. And we cry out like Mary of old, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Many a sermon preached in our land, and there's no mention of Christ. Friends, we preach Christ and him crucified. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Therefore, we must give Isaac credit. We must give Isaac credit because he knew what was missing. He knew what was missing. He knew the lamb was essential for the sacrifice of sins. He knew there couldn't be worship without the lamb. He knew that there couldn't be worship without the lamb. And so Abraham's answer conveyed more Well, then he himself probably was aware at that moment, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Not only is it prophesied that God will provide a lamb to take Isaac's place, but it also states that God provided Jesus Christ for man to be man's saviour for sins. Man didn't provide himself a saviour. Man didn't provide himself a saviour. Therefore, God, in providing himself a lamb. Do you see it, friends? Let us just dwell on it. Christ, God's gift, God's love gift, God's love gift to man, God's given gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this sin-cursed world, did that which we couldn't. No murmuring. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so in which Christ, who was made an offering for sin, the sacrifice to God of a sweet-smelling savour, and its being a burnt offering, well, it denotes the sufferings of Christ. It was not God's intention that Isaac should actually be sacrificed. Yet nobler blood than that of animals in due time was to be shed for sin. Even the blood of the only begotten Son of God, Christ, was sacrificed in our stead. Christ was sacrificed in our stead. And therefore we see clearly the Lamb of God prophesied. The Lamb of God prophesied. The one who would cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reason why he was forsaken, because he suffered the just for the unjust. He was forsaken so that we would never be forsaken. Didn't he say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? And so we see clearly the Lamb of God prophesied in Abraham's offering up his only son, Isaac. And yet God was testing Abraham. It's all a test of his faith, that God would provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And therefore, child of God, with much to rejoice in, that we know this lamb. And I trust that the Lord will help us as we continue to look at the Lamb of God in this further study, as the Lord would lead us to do so. And we bring it to a close there. The Lamb of God prophesied. And you come along tonight, in God's will, and we will look at, in the Lord's will, the Lamb of God typified Let us bow now reverently before the Lord, thanking him.